वो भी यही चाहता है कि हिंदुस्तान में हम इज्जत करें, क्योंकि दुनिया का सबसे बड़ा मार्केट हिंदुस्तान है.
Domobandhu and Ibaginino, Jai Bhim. So we're getting clearer and clearer about how to follow in Baba Sahib's footsteps. Night by night, we're seeing what we can do to fulfill Baba Sahib's dream. And I hope that night by night, you're reflecting on your own part in this great Dhamma revolution. Because remember, this is a Dhamma Kranti training camp. And whatever we're talking about is for us to act upon. The time for words is coming to an end. We've got three more talks to go. And then it's up to you. So I hope that you are making decisions about your own future life. First of all, I hope you're making decisions about how you will work on yourselves. We've looked at how one puts into practice Shila, Samadhi, Prajna. Even here in Bombay, you can do something. Even with all this competition, you can still practice the Dhamma. After all, for the last two nights, they've been shouting, but the Dhamma wins. We can still listen to the Dhamma. We can still be inspired by the Dhamma. So when you go back to your homes, you can still practice Shila, Samadhi, Prajna. And I hope that you've each got an idea of exactly how you're going to do that. Then I hope you've got a clear idea about how to form Sangha. Especially how to form Sanghakulas. And that will be a great support to you in your spiritual efforts. It'll be a workshop in active democracy. And it'll be an example to others which they can follow. And then that Sanghakula can be the working unit in which you transform society. So now we're going to be looking more at spreading Dhamma. And tomorrow we'll look at the fourth element in the action plan, helping those who are in suffering. So last night we began looking at the question of spreading Dhamma outside the existing community. And we saw that there were three different markets, each of which needed a different package for Dhamma. I saw today the head of the Bajaj Institute of Management Studies. Dr. Jadav is a Buddhist. And Baba Sahib is sitting there on his desk. And he was saying he thought we should apply some of these management ideas to spreading Dhamma. So I said, well, we've been doing that last night. So let's look at those three areas very quickly just to remind ourselves. There's existing Buddhists. Many of them don't have genuine Dhamma. They have duplicate Dhamma. It looks like Dhamma, but it doesn't have the same effect. So we need to give the message of harmony for all Buddhists. The message that we need to work together to help change India. The message that we've no quarrels with each other. Then we need to get the message that if you are to follow the Dhamma, you need to practice changing yourself. Then we need to give the message that the Dhamma needs to go beyond the existing Buddhist community. So then there's our second market. Other communities with a similar background and experience. Scheduled castes, scheduled tribes, OBC. These are people who have great respect for Baba Sahib. They probably see Baba Sahib as their leader. So we need to ask them, why did Baba Sahib convert? We need to ask them to think about the significance of Baba Sahib's conversion to the Buddha Dhamma. And then say, well, you say you're followers of Baba Sahib, why don't you follow him all the way? But we saw that we need to be careful that we welcome them fully. When we enter the Buddha Dhamma, we leave our caste and community behind. When people join the Sangha, we should welcome them fully and openly. But especially that means being prepared to marry their sons and daughters. Then our third market is modern, liberal-minded, educated people with a caste Hindu background. Many of them will be coming with a similar kind of interest to the one that brought me to the Buddha Dhamma. They'll be wanting to understand the meaning of life. They'll want to develop themselves as individuals. So that's what we offer them. We offer them meditation. We offer them the philosophy of Buddhism. For the time being, we don't put Baba Sahib on the package. Later they'll understand the full social significance of the Buddha Dhamma. But let's let people approach through the doorway that suits them.
अशा प्रकारचा प्रवेशद्वार ठेवला पाहिजे ज्या प्रवेशद्वारामधून येणं त्यांना सोयीचं वाटतं.
So those are our three markets. So who is going to sell in those markets? Who are the salesmen? We need to get very practical. We need to find people to do this work. So who is to do this work? Who is to approach all these people? Is it the bhikshus? Is it Subhuti? Amoga City? It's you! It's every single one of us. It's none of us are accepted. This is what Baba Saheb did in launching his Dhamma revolution. Yes, he wanted highly trained bhikshus and lay people to lead this process. But he made very clear the day after his own conversion that anybody could convert anybody else. You probably don't realize how special this is in Buddhist history. Sometimes people wonder why Baba Saheb did the conversion himself. Uchandramani gave him the refuges and precepts with his wife. Then he took the 22 vows. And then he gave the refuges and precepts to everybody else there at the Dikshabhumi. This was completely unprecedented. Always the bhikshu leads the ceremony. But it was very good that Uchandramani respected Baba Saheb and went along with his wishes. So there's a great significance in Baba Saheb leading that conversion. What he's saying is that any serious Buddhist can lead that conversion ceremony. We shouldn't just leave it to the monks. He's saying the responsibility rests with each individual Buddhist to spread the Dhamma. So Baba Saheb didn't just lead a Dhamma revolution within India. He led a Dhamma revolution in Buddhism. He made it quite clear that each of us has responsibility for spreading Dhamma. He made it quite clear that each of us has responsibility for practicing Dhamma. In too many Buddhist countries, the lay people leave the monks to do the practicing. They get their merit from giving dana to the monks. But Baba Saheb gave the 22 vows. And those 22 vows make clear that the Buddha Dhamma must be practiced. So he gave that responsibility to each and every one of his sons and daughters. So this work of spreading Dhamma, of sharing Dhamma with more and more people, rests with each and every one of us. So each of us can spread the Dhamma. Now, this is really something to think about. It's not other people, it's us. Every one of us can communicate the Buddha Dhamma. You can tell what you know. What you don't know, you just say you don't know. Mujhe malum nahi. Malum. Okay, that. Malum arati itna hai. Kuch kuch hibda shab Hindi bolta hoon. Yes, you tell what you know. What you don't know, say you don't know. You can support those who are more experienced than you. So for instance, so many people have made it possible for me to speak in Mumbai over this last month. They do all the work, I just get the last bit of sugar on the cake. I have the easy part. But they do all the work of presenting me with a platform. So you can help those who are more experienced to teach Dhamma. You can help publish and distribute Dhamma books and recordings and so on. Every one of you can do something. If every one of you does do something, the Dhamma will spread. Now, Baba Sahib was prepared to learn from anywhere. And I know that he was very impressed by certain Christian missionaries. Those who come from Christian countries are a little bit uncomfortable about that, but I know what he means. Sometimes Christian missionaries use methods that I wouldn't like us to use. But they do go out and spread their religion. And Baba Sahib wanted Buddhists to have that same attitude. So you are the people to spread the Dhamma. We are the people to spread Dhamma. So just ask yourself some questions. The first one is, are you really convinced that spreading Dhamma is important? If you don't think it's important, well, you won't do it. And you should just be quite honest about that. There's no compulsion on you. But we stress quite often what Baba Sahib thought the significance of Dhamma was for social justice and liberty, equality and fraternity in India. So you need to make up your own minds. Is this what you believe? Is this what you think needs to be done? So really think about this, please. Then you need to think, well, do I actually want to do it? Yes, again, you may think it's important, but you may not want to do it yourself. And you're free not to. After all, Liberty must mean liberty. You must be free to be a Buddhist and free not to be a Buddhist. If you're not free not to be a Buddhist, you're not free to be a Buddhist. So really think. And if you make up your mind whether you believe it's important and whether you want to do it, then you need to think about doing it. And you need to think, do you believe you can do it? I think often we hold back because we don't believe that we can do it. I remember thinking that when I was first involved with Buddhism. I thought, well, what do I know? I'm not a very good speaker. Who would listen to me? This is what I used to think. But Bhante Sangharakshita, he said, no, everybody should preach Dhamma. So we need to see whether we're holding back from lack of confidence in ourselves. Now I think there are various reasons for this lack of confidence. So the first of these is that we think, what do I know of the Buddha Dhamma? Well, you think, well, let's leave it to those who are much more experienced. One day when I'm enlightened, then I'll preach the Dhamma. In 20, 30 years time, then I'll teach the Dhamma. But I think we just need to teach what we actually know, share what we know. As I said, and to say, I don't know, when you don't know. But the second point, of course, is to go and learn. You can all learn something. You can all learn the basics of Dhamma. There's plenty of good material that you can study. So if you don't think you've got enough knowledge, go and get it. And it doesn't need to be complicated knowledge. You can just give very simple information, very simple talks and so on. You can just say what you know and learn more day by day. I found the best way to learn is to teach. And I'm especially wanting to address the young people here. I think in India there's a growing generation gap. Young people and old people are increasingly occupying different worlds. Young people know all about internet and web and computers and all that. And older people often don't know much about that. The modern world is changing very, very fast. So I think that young people need to teach the Dhamma themselves. And you don't need permission. Baba Sahib has already given us all permission. We can all get on with communicating whatever we know. So don't let your feeling that you don't have knowledge hold you back. And just teach what you do know. and go and learn more. So there's a second reason why people hold back, especially from teaching outside the present Buddhist community. We don't really get our message across much outside the Buddhist community. And I think the reason for this is that we're worried how people from other communities will receive us. And I think we need to face up to this fully and look at the reasons behind it. It's one of the main reasons why Buddhism has not spread beyond the present community. And we all know what the reason is. It's caste. Caste divides and factionalizes Indians against each other. We see people from other communities with insecurity and hostility. We're suspicious of them. We don't know how to interpret the way they look at us. If they look bored, we may think, well, that's because we're from a different community. It may be just that they didn't sleep very well last night. But we interpret it in terms of our own fears. Caste has a legacy inside our minds. It exists in the structures of Indian society. But it exists also in our own minds. I'm so aware of this because I don't share it. We've got our own conditioning in England, but it's a different one. But I'm very aware of it here in India. For some people, it's a feeling of inferiority that they carry with them. For some people, there's a lot of anger boiling under the surface. For some people, there's contempt towards others. But for most people, there's insecurity and fear. And for all, there's a great deal of pain and suffering associated with this question. This is the great tragedy of this social system. It divides and separates people, and it leaves pain in the hearts of all. To be separated from others is to feel pain. To be treated the way that people treat each other is to feel pain. So we need to look inside and recognize the legacy of caste within us. And then we need to decide not to be limited by it. It's necessary to recognize it. But we have to go beyond it. This is the first message of Baba Sahib's own life. Dr. Jadhav today was saying to me that all his life he'd met opposition. He's now head of one of the most prestigious academic institutions in India.
आता भारतातील अतिशय म्हणजे लौकिक असलेली अतिशय प्रसिद्ध असलेली अशी मोठी जी संस्था आहे त्याचे ते प्रमुख आहे.
But he said that he just would not let that hold him back.
परंतु याच्यामुळे मात्र ते त्याच्यामुळे मागे राहता कामा नये.
And this is the attitude that we've all gathered, gained from Baba Saheb. We need to recognize the feelings that go with this conditioning and go beyond it. If the Dhamma is to be shared more widely, we need a great deal of courage and confidence.
जर आपल्याला व्यापक प्रमाणामध्ये जर धर्माचा प्रचार आणि प्रसार करायचा असेल तर आपल्यामध्ये खूप धैर्य असलं पाहिजे, खूप आपल्यामध्ये अशा प्रकारे शक्ती असली पाहिजे.
We need to overcome our pain.
आपले जे दुःख आहे त्या दुःखातून आपण वर उठलं पाहिजे.
We need to get over our inferiority sense.
आपला जो काही न्यूनगंडाचा भाव आहे त्याच्यावर आपण उठलं पाहिजे.
We need to put our anger aside.
आपला जो काही राग आहे द्वेष आहे तो आपण बाजूला ठेवला पाहिजे.
We need to see it clearly and go beyond it.
तर अतिशय स्पष्टपणे आपण पाहिलं पाहिजे आणि त्याच्या आपण पलीकडे गेलो पाहिजे.
We need to genuinely see that all are our brothers and sisters.
अतिशय म्हणजे खऱ्यापणाने आपण पाहिलं पाहिजे की सर्वजण माझे बंधू आणि भगिनी.
सर्व लोक आपले लोक आहे. So we need to share Baba Saheb's vision of fraternity.
तर बाबा साहेबांची जी जी ही जी दृष्टी आहे बंधुत्वाची ती आपण वाटून घेतली पाहिजे.
His vision was of a free society of equals.
बाबा साहेबांची दृष्टी होती की अशा प्रकारचा एक मुक्त समाज असावा तो समानतेवर आधारित.
All respecting and honoring each other equally.
जिथे सर्वजण एकमेकांना आदर करत आहेत एकमेकांचा आदर होतो आहे.
We need to see ourselves as free and equal.
आपण स्वतःला मुक्त आणि समान पाहिलं पाहिजे.
And have the courage to share the Dhamma.
आणि आपल्यामध्ये धैर्य असलं पाहिजे इतरांसोबत धम्म वाटून घेण्यासाठी.
I think it'd be very good indeed to look more closely at this question of caste conditioning.
तर हे अतिशय आपल्यासाठी चांगलं होईल की हा जो काही जातीभेदाचा संस्कार आहे त्याला अजून आपण फार जवळून पाहायला पाहिजे.
And perhaps this would be a good topic to take up in our Sanghakulas.
आणि आपल्या संघकुलामध्ये हा विषय घेणं आपल्यासाठी अतिशय चांगलं होईल.
And it would be good to have a dialogue around this issue with people from other communities.
आणि इतर समाजाचे जे लोक आहेत त्यांच्या समवेत या विषयाच्या अनुषंगाने आपण चर्चा केली पाहिजे.
It would be very good to get people from different communities together to talk about their experience of caste.
तर इतर समाजाचे जे लोक आहेत त्यांना एकत्र आणून जातीचा त्यांचा जो काही अनुभव आहे तो अनुभव आपण तिथे एकत्रित चर्चा केला पाहिजे.
Just last week I was present at some discussions of that kind.
तर मागच्या आठवड्यामध्ये अशाच प्रकारच्या एका चर्चेमध्ये मी सहभागी झालो.
And it was very moving to hear people from all different communities talking about what caste had done to them.
आणि जातीमुळे त्यांच्यावर कशा प्रकारचे अनुभव आले त्यांना काय वाटलं ते सगळं ऐकताना माझं मन अतिशय हेलावून गेलं.
And a tremendous feeling of brotherhood, sisterhood, fraternity arose.
आणि मग कशा प्रकारे एक बंधुत्वाचा भाव जो आहे तो बंधुत्वाचा भाव बंधू भगिनीचा भाव निर्माण झाला.
So we need to talk honestly about our experiences and feelings.
तर अतिशय प्रामाणिकपणे आपले काय अनुभव आहेत आपल्या काय भावना आहेत त्याच्याबद्दल आपण चर्चा केली पाहिजे.
We need to understand each other and our experience.
आणि आपण एकमेकांना समजून घेतलं पाहिजे आपले अनुभव समजून घेतले पाहिजे.
I would certainly like to see this sort of dialogue going across Indian society.
आणि मला असं वाटतं विशेष म्हणजे असं घडलं पाहिजे की वेगवेगळ्या समाजाचे लोक एकत्र येऊन अशा प्रकारे चर्चा करू शकले पाहिजे.
And some of the people at the conference I was attending said they would very much like to participate in that sort of open dialogue about the effects of caste on each individual.
आणि अशा प्रकारच्या अधिवेशनामध्ये जिथे मी सहभागी होणार आहे तर अशा प्रकारे अनेक जे व्यक्ती आहेत जातीचा जो काही त्यांचा अनुभव आहे त्या अनुभवाबद्दल ते एकत्र येऊन चर्चा करणार.
And I have a sort of vision of a whole new movement of dialogue across all the different communities and castes of India.
तर एक प्रकारचं नवीन चळवळ निर्माण होईल जिथं अनेक जाती आणि समाजाचे लोक एकत्र येऊन चर्चा करतील आणि नवीन प्रकारे भारतामध्ये काहीतरी घडवतील.
If anybody is interested in participating in that sort of dialogue, well, please let me know and I can put you in touch with people to talk to.
जर तुमच्यापैकी कोणाला याच्यामध्ये समजा रुची असेल अशा प्रकारची चर्चा करण्यासाठी तर मी अशा लोकांशी तुमचा संपर्क घडवून आणू शकतो.
I think this will have a tremendous effect on Indian society.
आणि याच्यामुळे भारतीय समाजावर फार मोठा परिणाम होईल.
We need to face up to the inner effects of caste.
जातीचा जो काही आपल्यामध्ये
Of course, we need to work on the structural influences of caste. We need to politically work against that influence. But we need to work on the inner effects of caste. So that we could go beyond. Only when we go beyond will we have the courage to go outside our present community and spread the Dhamma. Now there's another fear that's often in people's minds. If we start talking about the Dhamma to people outside our own community, what will our own community members think? If you start talking about the Dhamma without talking about Baba Sahib, what will people think? This is something very strong for us. We're very concerned about being accepted and supported by our own community. Well, we need to try to explain what we're doing and why we're doing it. But in the end, you have to act on your own conviction, just like Baba Sahib did. Yes, if you explain, maybe people will understand. If they don't understand, you still just have to act. And I can guarantee you, people will talk, but nothing will happen. People say all sorts of things. But if you're confident, nothing happens. So, confidence wins every time. So let's admit our reservations, admit our fears. We all have them. We all have those fears. I remember myself the first few times I gave talks. I was shivering and shaking. My mouth was dry, I could hardly talk. I remember a friend of mine who's now a very, very good speaker. The first three times he gave talks, he fell off the stage, he fainted. So we just have to overcome our fear and do it. We just have to get used to standing up in front of people and talking. I now hardly feel anything when I give a talk. Sometimes a little bit of, I'm a bit, what can I say, a lot of energy there. But I feel no fear. In fact, I feel great eagerness to talk. So if you just keep doing it again and again, you get used to it. It doesn't matter how many there are. So just get used to it. So that's the first thing we need to do. Well, first of all, we need to make up our minds whether we think it's important and whether we're prepared to do it. Then we need to admit our reservations, our fears. And then we have to decide to go ahead. Now, having faced your fear, you need to prepare yourself. So how do you prepare yourself? Well, you prepare yourself mainly by practicing the Dhamma. By by practicing Shila Samadhi Pragyan. If you study the Dhamma for yourself, if you practice the Dhamma for yourself, you'll have something to offer to others. In the end, what you've got to offer is yourself. So if you practice the Dhamma yourself, you'll be ready to offer it to others. Then secondly, you can train in teaching the Dhamma. Groups of you can train each other. When I was first teaching the Dhamma, we used to have speakers classes. Bhante Sangharajita used to lead speakers classes. Each of us would give a 15-minute talk. There may be 10 of us there, and we'd each give a 15-minute talk. Then everybody else would comment on that talk. And because they were all going to give talks, they were quite kind about it. But you learned so much from that process. People would tell you honestly how they experienced you. And you could learn so much from that. And if you could have somebody who's an experienced speaker there, well, they can tell you so much. So I suggest that you organize these speakers' classes amongst you. You can do it in your Sanghakulas. You can organize these speakers' classes. And if you give a talk, get people to tell you what they thought about it. Are you all still alright? Can you still hear at the back? Good, okay. I'm not sure whether we're winning. I think we're winning still. Amoga City's voice is really loud. Is that big belly? So, yes, you can train yourself in speaking more effectively. You can go and give a talk when there's a fairground next door. And train yourself in speaking really loudly above that. It's very good practice. It's like giving a talk under fire. But anyway, we're winning. What I suggest is that everybody prepares 3 short talks. One on what is Dhamma. What are the 3 jewels, for instance? What the Dhamma means to me. So a short talk that you can always give any occasion when it's needed. The second talk would be perhaps on why Baba Sahib converted. And the third talk would be on how to do meditation. So that's just 3 suggestions. But if you prepare 3 talks and practice them in a speaker's class, you're ready. So you train yourself. Prepare yourself. Get feedback, get help from others. But above all, practice the Dhamma yourselves. Then work as a team. A group of you, maybe your Sanghakula, can do spreading the Dhamma together. You can plan how you're going to take the Dhamma to new people. So how do you do that? What I suggest you do is sit down and look at what resources and opportunities you've got. What openings do you have? For instance, yesterday somebody came to see me, I think he's here tonight, who's a doctor in a hospital. So he can get his colleagues together and talk about Dhamma. There's a lot of interest in meditation and health. In England now, the National Health Service is asking for people to help with mindfulness and meditation as health.
इंग्लंड मध्ये नॅशनल हेल्थ सर्व्हिस ते जे तिथं आहे तर ते पाहत आहेत की ध्यान जे आहे ध्यानामुळे लोकांना एक प्रकारे आरोग्याची मदत होते आहे.
So the government is paying people to teach meditation and mindfulness.
आणि मग तिथं सरकार जे आहे लोकांना पैसे देतं जेणेकरून ते येऊन ध्यान शिकवू शकते.
So in hospitals in India, that sort of awareness will be coming too.
तर अशा प्रकारे भारतामधील जे काही हॉस्पिटल्स आहेत तिथे सुद्धा अशा प्रकारची जागृती येऊ शकते.
So if you're in a hospital and you can get your colleagues together and talk to them about the health effects of mindfulness and meditation.
आणि मग जर समजा तुम्ही हॉस्पिटल मध्ये असाल तर तुमचे सहकारी तुम्ही एकत्र करा आणि त्यांना तुम्ही सांगा की जो काही स्मृतीचा सराव आहे ध्यान आहे त्याचा आपल्या आरोग्यासाठी काय फायदा होतो.
So look at the openings you've got. Of course, the most effective thing is friendship. The other day there was one man who's become a Buddhist from a Brahmin community. So I asked him, well, how did you come to the Buddha Dhamma?
मग मी त्यांना विचारलं की तुम्ही बुद्ध धर्माकडे कसा आला.
इट्स व्हेरी अनयुजुअल फॉर पीपल फ्रॉम दॅट कम्युनिटी टू कम टू द बुद्ध धर्मा.
आता खरं म्हणजे ही अतिशय म्हणजे वेगळी आगळीवेगळीची बाब आहे की अशा समाजामधून माणूस येऊन पोहोचतो.
So he said when he read the Buddha and his Dhamma by Baba Sahib and he immediately thought this is the religion he wants to follow.
त्यांनी सांगितलं की बाबा साहेबांचा बुद्ध आणि त्यांचा धर्म त्यांनी वाचून काढला आणि लगेच त्यांना वाटलं की ते त्यांनी बुद्ध धर्माचा आचरण केलं पाहिजे.
So I said, ah, but how did you get hold of the Buddha and his Dhamma?
मग मी त्यांना विचारलं की बुद्ध आणि त्याचा धर्म तुमच्याकडे कसा आला.
Because most Brahmins, they don't read the Buddha and his Dhamma.
कारण अनेक जे ब्राह्मीण आहे ते काही बुद्ध आणि त्याचा धर्म वाचत नाही.
So why did he read it? Well, a friend of his who was a Buddhist who worked with him gave it to him. And this friend had been talking about the Baba Sahib and about Buddhism for a long time. So I said, it was Kalyana Mitrata that brought you to the Buddha Dhamma. And he said, yes, it was friendship that brought him to the Buddha Dhamma. So we've all got friends probably outside the Buddhist community. Well, we don't want to force them, we don't want to be insensitive to them. But we can find ways of talking to them about the Buddha Dhamma. If you've been on a shibir, well, you can tell them what it was like. If you've been listening to lectures on the Buddha Dhamma by Subhuti, you can tell them what they were like. So without forcing, without being insensitive, well, you communicate what's important to you. So we especially communicate the Dhamma through friendship. And they explain that the Buddha Dhamma is to go beyond caste and community.
आणि जेव्हा आपण अशा प्रकारे बुद्ध धर्म सांगतो तेव्हा आपल्या आपली जी काही जात आहे समाज आहे
So many people have the idea that Buddhism is just a community. So we need to communicate the Buddha Dhamma is for going beyond caste and community. So our friends are probably the main way in which we communicate. But we can use our work and business connections. We can go to local mandals and viharas. We seize every chance, every opportunity. We're as active as we possibly can be. And but we cooperate harmoniously with other people. So we work together to find outlets for the Dhamma. In this big city of Bombay, there are so many opportunities. So we just seek those opportunities that are open to us. Spend time thinking of those opportunities. Make a plan. And with your friends, take advantage of them. Yes, and make opportunities for experienced speakers. Put experienced teachers in contact with others. Help to publish and distribute books, CDs, VCDs, cassettes, and so on. Use the internet, those of you who have access to computers. So use every opportunity you can think of. Maybe today, tomorrow, sit with some friends and try to think up at least 5 ways in which you could communicate the Dhamma. I'm sure that every one of you can do that. Well, there's so much work to do. We have to educate, agitate, organize. We need to do that in the political and social sphere. But we need to do it in the Dhammic sphere. Each of us can do something. If we work together in our Sanghakulas and other groupings, we can do so much. So that's some idea of the ways in which we can think about outlets for our Dhamma work. Now there's something very important that we need to look at before we conclude. The Buddha himself thought about how we bring people to the Dhamma. The Buddha was very, very active in taking the Dhamma to other people. He was a very, very active communicator. Again and again in the suttas he says, I went to them and said. He didn't just sit there and wait for people to come to him. He went to people and taught the Dhamma. But he thought to himself, what is it that attracts people to the Dhamma? What attracts people to the Dhamma and creates the Sangha?
कुठली बाब आहे ज्याच्यामुळे ते धर्माकडे आकर्षित होतात आणि संघाची निर्मिती होते.
He thought, what are the elements of conversion?
आता अशा प्रकारे जे काही धर्मांतर होतं, परिवर्तन होतं, तर त्यातले कुठले महत्वाचे जे तत्व आहे?
What are the means of unifying the Sangha?
तर अशा प्रकारे संघ एक करण्यासाठी कुठल्या गोष्टी आहेत?
What draws people together for a higher spiritual purpose?
तो जो काही आध्यात्मिक उच्च प्रकारचा आपला उद्देश आहे तिथे येण्यासाठी कुठली गोष्ट आहे जी लोकांना प्रेरित करते?
He said there were four factors that unified the Sangha and attracted people to the Dhamma.
ते म्हणाले की चार अशा बाबी आहेत ज्याच्यामुळे लोक अशा प्रकारे धर्माकडे आकर्षित होतात आणि संघ एक होतो.
These are what are known as the four Sangraha Vastus.
त्यांना चार संग्रह वस्तू अशा प्रकारे ओळखले जातात.
And I get a look at these now. Could I ask no more photography at the front here? It's distracting for everybody.
Yeah.
So, what are the four Sangraha Vastus? First of all, there's Dana. Then there's Priyavadita. Samanathata. Artacharya. Dana, well, we all know what Dana is, generosity. Priyavadita is kindly speech. Samanathata is exemplification. Artacharya is good action. So let's look at each of these in turn. They are the spirit that there needs to be if people are to come to the Dhamma.
आणि अशा प्रकारचं चैतन्य असलं पाहिजे जर आपल्याला लोक धर्माकडे आणायचे.
सो द नीड्स टू बी अ स्पिरिट ऑफ दान.
दानाचं चैतन्य असलं पाहिजे.
एव्हरीबॉडी इन द संघ नीड्स टू बी गिव्हिंग.
संघामध्ये प्रत्येक जणाने काही दिलं पाहिजे.
दान इज सो ब्युटिफुल.
दान फार सुंदर आहे.
व्हेन यू सी पीपल बीइंग जेनरस, इट्स व्हेरी अट्रॅक्टिव्ह.
जेव्हा तुम्ही लोकांना पाहता की ते फार दातृत्ववान आहे, दान देता, तर आपल्याला मोठं आकर्षित वाटतं.
जेनरॉसिटी ड्रॉज पीपल.
दातृत्वामुळे लोक जे आहेत ते जवळ येतात.
इट युनाइट्स पीपल.
त्याच्यामुळे लोक एक होतात.
दिस इज व्हाय सो मेनी ऑफ अस फ्रॉम द वेस्ट लव कमिंग टू इंडिया.
आणि यामुळे पश्चिमेकडील अनेक लोक जे आहेत भारतामध्ये येणं त्यांना आवडतं.
बिकॉज इंडियन्स आर सो गुड टू गेस्ट्स.
आणि भारत म्हणजे अतिशय चांगला आहे अतिथींसाठी.
यू गिव्ह सो जेनरसली टू गेस्ट्स.
तुम्ही तुमच्या पाहुण्याला अतिशय म्हणजे दातृत्वाने त्याला भरवता.
लुक एट ऑल द गार्लंड्स दॅट यू गिव्ह एट द बिगिनिंग ऑफ ईच प्रोग्राम.
आता या कार्यक्रमाच्या आधी तुम्ही किती मोठं दान दिलेला.
व्हेन अ गार्लंड इज गिव्हन टू यू, यू फील डिलाइटेड, यू फील युनाइटेड विथ द पीपल हू गिव्ह इट.
जेव्हा तुम्हाला असा हार दिला जातो तेव्हा तुम्हाला मोठा आनंद होतो आणि लोकांशी तुम्ही एक झाला.
Even the giving of flowers creates delight in the heart of the one who is given to.
आता केवळ एखाद्याला आपण फूल देतो तर ज्याला ते फूल मिळतं असे त्याच्या हृदयामध्ये मोठा आनंद निर्माण
होतो. And it unites the one who gives and the one to whom it's given.
आता जो काही देणारा आहे आणि जो काही घेणारा आहे त्या दोघांना जणू काही दान एकत्र आणतो.
So dana creates a tremendous feeling of solidarity and togetherness.
तर दान जे आहे अशा प्रकारे आपण एकत्रितपणे आपण एक झालो अशा प्रकारची भावना निर्माण होते.
So if people see generosity they'll be drawn.
जर लोकांना अशा प्रकारची दान भावना दिसली तर लोक आकर्षित होतील.
If they receive generosity they'll want to come.
जर लोकांना अशा प्रकारचं दान दिसलं तर त्यांना येणं आवडेल.
If there's an atmosphere of generosity people will be attracted.
जर दानाचं असं वातावरण निर्माण झालं तर लोक याच्याकडे आकर्षित होतील.
When you give you go beyond yourself towards the other person.
जेव्हा तुम्ही देता तर तुम्ही स्वतःमधून बाहेर पडता त्या लोक माणसापर्यंत जाता.
You know that there's this terrible earthquake tragedy at the moment.
आता आपल्याला माहिती आहे की अतिशय भयंकर अशा प्रकारचा भूकंप झालेला आहे, कोणी मोठं असं दुःख उडवलेलं आहे.
And well, we know some even of our own order members living in Sri Lanka have lost all their property.
आणि आपले कर्मचारी जे आहेत श्रीलंकेमध्ये त्यांचं बरीचशी काही संपत्ती त्याच्यामध्ये निघून गेली.
But one thing that's really struck me is the response of the world to the this tragedy. I've been watching the television and it's been reporting that there's been so much generosity. And you have the feeling the world is drawing together, at least for the time being. In Sri Lanka and in Indonesia, people have stopped fighting. So generosity draws together, it unites. And I think it would be very good if we developed even stronger habits of generosity within the Buddhist community. Now, one of the things I regret about stopping being a Christian is that we don't have Christmas anymore.
आता एक गोष्ट म्हणजे मला फार म्हणजे त्याचं वाईट वाटतं की म्हणजे ख्रिश्चन म्हणून मी थांबलो तर आता एक्समस किंवा क्रिसमस आम्ही साजरा करतो.
In Christian countries, Christmas is a time for giving gifts.
कारण जे काही ख्रिश्चन राष्ट्र आहे तर जेव्हा क्रिसमस असतं
and although it can become too much and a lot of money goes into it all, but it can be very, very beautiful. A tremendous atmosphere of generosity on that particular day. I think we should develop our own Buddhist habit of generosity in this way. Not, of course, at Christmas. Not at Christmas. Why not Ashok Vijay Dashami? Maybe on the anniversary of Baba Sahib's conversion, we should give each other gifts. Just in memory of what happened then. Not big gifts, just small gifts. And gifts to each other, gifts to our friends outside the Buddhist community. Then non-Buddhists will know that Buddhists are generous. If you're given a gift, you respond to the giver.
जेव्हा तुम्हाला एखादी भेटवस्तू मिळते तर जो काही देणार आहे त्याला तुम्ही प्रतिसाद देत असता.
So there should be an atmosphere of generosity within the spiritual community.
तर आध्यात्मिक संघामध्ये अशा प्रकारे वातावरण असलं पाहिजे की जिथं दातृत्व असेल.
Then people will be drawn. Of course, it's a generosity of spirit, not just of giving gifts. Generosity with our time and energy. Generosity with our attention. Then the second of the Sangravastus is Priyavadita. Loving speech. It's very, very attractive to see loving speech. When people speak to each other in a friendly and appreciative way, well, you want to come into that, you want to be drawn to that. When people speak harshly and negatively, you want to go away. The only people who want to listen to negative speech are those who have negativity within them. Quarreling, criticism, harsh speech are all very, very unpleasant to hear. Swearing, talking about people behind their back, teasing, all of that can be so unpleasant. Disharmony amongst Buddhists is repellent. If Buddhists speak harshly about each other, why should other people want to join us? They can speak harshly about each other without coming to Buddhism. They don't need to be Buddhists to speak harshly. So if they see Buddhists quarrelling, they're not going to want to join us. If they see we're harmonious, if they see that we speak kindly to each other, they'll want to come to us. And this is a lesson for us in our order even. Sometimes we speak harshly to each other. Some mitras have come to me recently just saying, well, look at the way the order members are treating each other. Why should we join this order? So we should listen. It's only kindly speech that attracts. The single greatest obstacle to the spreading of Dhamma in India today is disharmony amongst Buddhists. Kindly, understanding speech is so pleasing. We want to be part of that. We want to participate in that. So that's Priyavadita. Then there's Samanartata. That means practicing what you preach. If you're talking about Shila, you need to be practicing Shila. If you're talking about meditation, you need to be practicing meditation. If you're talking about devoting yourself to studying and practicing the Dhamma, you need to be studying and practicing the Dhamma. People are watching for hypocrisy. There's been so much in the papers recently, hasn't there, with this the arrest of a religious leader. And we've been learning what's going on in those marts. People are so aware that religious leaders are often hypocritical, exploiting, engaging in misconduct. And we shouldn't think it just happens in other religions. It happens in Buddhism too. But if people see that, they won't want to come to us. If they see somebody who really practices what they preach, they'll want to follow them. So we must really put into practice what we teach. If we're talking about fraternity, we need to practice fraternity. If we're talking about equality, we need to practice equality. If we're talking about liberty, we need to treat people as free. If people see that, they'll want to be with us. Probably the best way we can attract people to the Buddha Dhamma is by exemplifying the Dhamma. It's our exemplification which will draw them to us. I'll give you an example. Just recently, an order member from Lasnagar told me that his officer had approached him. He his officer had said, well, you seem to be a really good person. You seem honest, hardworking, and friendly. So why is that? So he said, well, I practice meditation, I follow the Buddha Dhamma. So his officer said, well, please, can you teach all our office meditation? So in that way, his officer and others learned meditation. They were from different communities. So it's this exemplification that really draws people. So then lastly, there's Arthacharya. Beneficial activity, helping other people. We're going to say a lot about that tomorrow night. But let's just say a little bit tonight. If people see that you are talking about loving kindness, but you're not helping those who are suffering, they won't believe in you. If people see that you're helping those who are suffering around you, they will be drawn to you. Active compassion is deeply convincing. If you see that people are really trying to help the world, you'll be drawn towards them. So, these are the four Sangraha Vastus. We need to spread the Dhamma. But we need to make sure it's done in the right spirit. So often people spread the Dhamma, spread religion, in a spirit of conquest. They're not doing it out of compassion, they're doing it in order to have the greatest number of followers. They do it by playing on negative emotions. They play on fear, on loneliness, on hatred. But that's not the way we spread the Dhamma. We spread the Dhamma in the spirit of the Sangraha Vastus. We do it in a spirit of generosity, of kindly, loving speech, exemplifying what we're talking about, and responding to the sufferings of people around us. So, if we do that, then people will be drawn. Then our efforts to spread the Dhamma will be rewarded. People will be drawn for the right reasons. And they'll be drawn in the right spirit. And then the Dhamma will be the true basis for a free and just society. And that will fulfill Baba Saheb's dream. Jai Bhim.
Bigger the problem, bigger the Buddha. जोड़े problem जास्ता जोड़ा बुद्ध मोटा. म्हणून आज आपल्याला निश्चिताची प्रचिती आली असेल की एवढ्या मोठ्या समस्येमध्ये सुद्धा एवढा मोठा आवाज असताना सुबुद्धीनं अतिशय सुंदरीतेने हे प्रवचन मालिकेचं हे पुष्प गुंतलेलं आहे. तेव्हा परत आपण जोरांच्या काळामध्ये सांगितलं करूया. कारण दुसरी सूचना एक काय केलं अतिशय सुंदर असं म्हणावं प्रशिक्षण देणारे या ठिकाणी होणार आहे. तेव्हा आपण सर्वांनी मोठ्या संख्येने या शिबिराला उपस्थित राहायचं. तेव्हा आपण विचारायचं नाही या दोन सूचना देऊन आजचा हा कार्यक्रम धम्म पालन याच्याने संपन्न होणार.